Let's turn again at this time to John chapter 9, where we've been looking at this miracle that Jesus performed of healing the blind man. And I'm going to pick it up at the end of verse 7, John 9 at verse 7. I think I'll read through 34. Jesus has just made some mud and he has put it on the man's eyes. And then he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and he washed and he came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." He said, "I am he." Therefore they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and I washed and I received sight." Then they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see." Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him because he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." Then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." They answered and said to him, "You are completely born in sins, and are you teaching us?" And they cast him out. Thus ends our reading. Let's ask God's blessing. Lord God, even as we come to this text and we're reading such a powerful revelation of your love and your goodness to your people in Jesus Christ, and even as we're speaking of the blind being able to see, we know that this is a spiritual work. This is a work done by your Holy Spirit. So we pray that he is here with us, that you would give me wisdom and knowledge and understanding of how to speak boldly and faithfully and simply this word, and that this, your people, would be built up and strengthened in this word. Lord, all these things we ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen. This morning we were looking at the story of the leper, and tonight we're looking at the story of this blind man who was given sight. You know, one of the very powerful words here at the end of verse 7. So he went and washed and came back seeing. He came back seeing. A blind man came back seeing. Someone who had never seen anything came back seeing. And this morning we're looking at these lepers, men who had to live on the outskirts, way on the outside, almost like rabid dogs, feared and abhorred and outside and not being able to be part of the community. And you see, brothers and sisters, Jesus did a lot of those kind of works when He was in the world. And the Old Testament speaks of that the Messiah would come and that He would give sight to the blind. And you have to understand that one of the biggest reasons, the biggest reason that these stories are given to us is because they are living illustrations. They are living metaphors of the spiritual work that God is doing in His people. All right? Because the whole idea of the blind being given sight is speaking about the fact that man in sin is blind. And he needs to be given sight. And he cannot do that himself. But that is God's promise to His people, is that He will give them sight. And I just wanted to read a quick text out of Isaiah 59. Hard chapter. But it's speaking about where the people of God find themselves during the time of the prophet Isaiah. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for the light, but there is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. We all growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. And one of the things that we should find so striking, so powerful, and something that should zip into our hearts is when we think of a blind man being given sight for the first time. Just think about how radical of a transformation that is. A man that's never seen anything, and how limited that man's life would be. Think of these lepers who, in an uncleansed, leprous state, they are cleansed by the Word of God, but through Jesus Christ, they are cleansed. How radical of a transformation is their life? We can't even hardly understand it. I mean, I think of my daughter who's in the audience and she doesn't even know I'm talking about her, but she was born with Down syndrome. I can't even imagine what it would be like to get up in the morning and to see her normal. I actually believe that I'm going to see that in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. I believe in the new heavens and the new earth. I'm going to see that. But I cannot even imagine how radical of a transformation that is. And the whole point that God is making to His people is that when you come confessing your sins in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, crying out for mercy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven and the Spirit of God is given to you as a gift. And He is telling us that our lives, we should experience some kind of a radical transformation. Something should change that is so powerful that it changes the whole world for us, that we see it differently than we did before. And if we don't have any kind of a radical transformation, then I would think that now is the time to say, why, Lord? Shouldn't I have a radical transformation? If I believe in You, if I'm confessing Your name, shouldn't I have a radical transformation? And the power of this text and the beauty of this text is that at the end of verse 7, He came back seeing, but it's speaking about His physical eyes. But the rest of the chapter is dedicated to showing us a trail that this man, that God is going to lead this man on a trail from spiritual darkness to spiritual light. And in doing so, the Holy Spirit is going to help us to see some things about spiritual light and spiritual truth. And the way that John does this is he works through conversations. He shows this man, or he shows that there's five conversations. It starts with the neighbors, and it'll end with him speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so there's going to be five conversations that we're moving through, and we're going to see certain truths in each one of these, but we're going to see a transformation. We're going to see a man moving from one place to another place. The first conversation is with the neighbors. Therefore, the neighbors and those who had previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is this not he who sat and begged?" And just a couple of things I want you to notice about this first conversation. In the first conversation, the first thing that should hit us is that the transformation that this man has experienced from being blind to seeing is so radical. Just this transformation from him being blind to seeing is so radical that there's a big old discussion, a back and forth with these neighbors who grew up with this guy, and they're wondering if this is actually him. And that just kind of hits me, because if you are out and about, and you guys, we've been raised in the Christian community, so you know this yourself. You've seen transformations. You've seen people that were wild and were living not right at all in any sense of the word. And then somehow the Lord Jesus Christ got a hold of their hearts and they had a radical transformation. They became almost like a different person. And it's almost like you could be talking back and forth and be like, this guy is not at all like the guy I used to know. Well, that's kind of what's happening here. Even though only his physical eyes have been healed, the transformation is so radical that the neighbors are trying to figure out whether it's actually him or not. And it's kind of funny, right? Because they're all talking back and forth, and he's standing right there, and finally he's like, "No, it is me. Okay, it's me. It's me." But then they ask him, the second thing I want us to note about this man, and you'll see it as we move through these conversations, that the second thing is that he speaks the truth. Okay, there's something about the heart that God is working in. They recognize and they speak the truth. He doesn't come up with some big old story of what happened to him. He doesn't embellish. He doesn't add to it. He doesn't take away from it. He just speaks the truth. How did you come to see? A man called Jesus put mud on my eyes, and he sent me down to the pool of Siloam to wash. I went, I washed, and I received my sight. Simple and clear. That's what happened. A man called Jesus. Where is he? And that's the third thing that I want you to see. Where is he? I don't know. What we see here is that what is so clear in this first conversation is that this man speaks of Jesus Christ, but he does not know him as Lord and Savior, does he? He knows him as the man who put some mud on his eyes and sent him down to get his eyes washed, and all of a sudden he can see and he never could see before. So there's something very cool and strange about this man, Jesus, but he does not know him as Lord and Savior, does he? And that leads us to the second conversation. In the second conversation, they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Okay, and what they're doing is, I'm not even sure actually what they're doing. I don't know if his enemies are these neighbors are like enemies of Jesus, because you know this is later on in the ministry of Jesus. Everybody in Jerusalem knows what's going on with Jesus, right? So whether they're pro-Jesus or anti-Jesus, or whether they're just neighbors, and I think we should just accept it that way, that they're neighbors who know that this man was born blind and now he sees. Okay? That's an amazing thing. We got to bring him to the religious leaders. We got to bring him to the leaders, and we got to show this man to them, and they need to hear his story. They need to hear about this Jesus. Who is this Jesus? What is his deal? I mean, this guy's got power with God, obviously. So they bring him. And the thing that the truth that's revealed here is that we begin to see that the name of Jesus Christ puts him right in the middle of a great controversy. Right away, we see that there's an issue, because even before the conversation starts, in verse 14 already, it says, "Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes." Right away, the Apostle John is telling us, you know what? There's an issue here. There's going to be a problem. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, and again, listen to this, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see." That clear. Simple and clear. "Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, 'This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath.' Others said, 'How can a man who is a sinner do such things?' And there was a division among them." And brothers and sisters, one of the things that we need to see and we need to understand is that this name, Jesus Christ, is still at the center of controversy in the world today. And what's happening in this text and what the Holy Spirit wants us to see as we're working through it is, what do we think of this man, Jesus Christ? Who do we think he is? Okay? Because if you're a child of God, this is something that has to be known to you, that at some time, even if you've never had one bit of controversy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, if you haven't, you will. Every nation in the world, every institution in the world, almost across the board, almost every recognized academy in the world, college, university, etc., Jesus Christ is universally rejected. Okay? And most of the schools, even here, the name of Jesus Christ is a choice. Well, you can follow him or not follow him. It's not a big deal. But Jesus Christ is at the center of this controversy. Is he from God, or is he a sinner? And when they're asking that question about, is he a sinner, they're saying, is he a madman? Is he a liar? Is he a hypocrite? That's what they're saying, okay? And that's the choice. And you can see that there's still a discussion here. There's still a going back and forth among the Pharisees about whether he's real, whether he's from God, or whether he's a liar, a madman, a hypocrite, in other words, a sinner. But then it comes down to this question right here. This man healed your eyes. What do you think of him? What do you think of him? And we can see from the answer that there's already movement, right? Because his answer is, he is a prophet. Now, what does that mean? What it means is that he just still does not see him as Lord and Savior. He does not yet see him as Lord and Savior. But when he says he is a prophet, what he is clearly saying is that he is from God. Okay? I don't know if you remember this, but in Matthew, I think, there's a discussion. I think it also comes out in Luke. I'm not positive. But in Matthew, for sure, there's a discussion. In the last couple of days before the Passover, when Jesus is teaching in the temple, and they come to him, and the Pharisees and the religious authorities come to him, and they say, "Where do you get your authority from?" And he says, "I'll tell you what, I'll answer that question if you answer me a question. And here's my question to you. John the Baptist. John the Baptist, where did he come from? Did he come from above, or was he from men?" And if you remember the answer, it's a tricky answer, right? Because all of a sudden the Pharisees and the religious leaders are going back there. That's a tricky question. Because if we tell them that he was from God, then what we're really saying is, then he's going to ask us why we didn't receive his baptism. Why we didn't listen to him. And he said, but on the other hand, if we say that he's from men, all the people are going to stone us because the people all believe that he came from God. Okay, so John the Baptist was recognized as a prophet. And so when he says he is a prophet, He does not yet recognize him as Lord and Savior, but we see movement here. This man, Jesus Christ, now he recognizes him. He is a prophet. He is from God. Clear as day. He is from God. Okay, now, third conversation. That leads us to the third conversation, right? Because the Pharisees and the religious authorities do not accept that answer. They do not see that that answer is a good answer. They do not like that answer. They do not agree with him at all. So what are they going to do? They're going to do what Satan and every other good lawyer in the world would do in this position, right? Let's start working on the witnesses, right? Because they really don't care about him. The only thing these religious authorities really care about is Jesus Christ. He is the threat. He is the one at the center. He is the one that they are rejecting, and so they're going to do whatever they have to do to topple him. And this man is now a witness for Jesus. And they don't like his witness. So, well, we don't like your answer that he is a prophet. So, okay, we're going to go to work on toppling your witness. So we're going to go talk to your parents. Very cunning on their part. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, two questions. Is this your son? And now listen how they say this. Who you say was born blind. Who you say was born blind. In other words, they're already saying, if you give us the wrong answers, we're going to start hacking away at you. Is this your son who you say was born blind? And the second question, how then does he now see? And brothers and sisters, the truth that's coming out of this third conversation is that the warfare against the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have to know this, the warfare against the Lord Jesus Christ is so deep, it is so strong, and it is so there is so much force of darkness and Satan and the powers of the world against the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you're seeing in this conversation will bring that out. Two simple questions, right? Is this your son who you say was born blind? And how did he come to see? So on the first question, it's no problem. They're going to stand four square. This is our son. And yes, he was born blind. We were there. We saw him. There's no waffling around. Well, you know, sometimes his sight wasn't so good, his vision. We didn't know if he could see or not see. And sometimes we still... No. He is our son. And yes, he was born blind. No problem on that question. Next question. The next question. How did he come to receive sight? Think about how crafty and how evil this question is. Because this son came home, and you know he did. And you've seen the answers that he's given. He tells the truth, and it's clear, and it's precise. This is their son. He came home, and he told them the same story he told everybody else. And you know, and I know, that they believed him. You know they believed him. And so that's what you would think that they would say, right? But they're not going to say that right now. Because the Pharisees and these religious authorities have put them on an island. And they basically told them, listen, real careful to this question. And think real careful before you answer it. Because it's already well known that anybody that confesses that this man, Jesus Christ, has power from God to do these kind of things, if that's what you're saying, that Jesus did this, then you're out of the synagogue. And I've told you before, brothers and sisters, back in those days, to be cast out of the synagogue was basically an economic and a social death sentence. Okay? What does it say? What it means is that you can go ahead and sell your bagels on Monday. Okay? But nobody in our community is going to buy them on Monday if you've been cast out of the synagogue. Okay? Nobody, if you've been cast out of the synagogue, nobody's going to buy or sell with you. All these good people here, these holy, righteous people, they're going to have nothing to do with you. They're not going to talk to you. They're not going to say boo to you. Don't come back to the synagogue. Don't go up to the temple to offer sacrifices. None of these things will be open to you. All the festivals and the feasts, they're cut off. You're cut off. Now, let me ask this question again. How did your son come to receive sight? Well, we don't know. We don't know. You see what they're doing? They just separated this man from his parents. You want to see how evil the breach is? You want to see how hard it goes if you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? You want to know how much it costs? Around the world this happens. Around the world. If you come out of a Muslim family, for instance, or a Hindu family, this is what they're going to do. We have nothing to do with them. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not with him or her. Whatever you're going to do, go ahead and do it. We're over here. And basically they're saying to their son, "Son, we're sorry, but you got to get off our boat. We'll give you a little boat, throw you out in the ocean here. You and Jesus can go wherever. But we're staying on this boat over here. Otherwise, they're going to sink us too." That's how savage the warfare is against the Lord Jesus Christ and those who will confess His name. And they just cut and separated this man from the people who bore him and brought him into this world. So that is the truth that comes out of this third conversation. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. He's a big boy. Talk to him." So again, they called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give the man glory. Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." Okay, now you should see something here. Okay, what they feel. Okay, a boxer, a fighter, somebody who's in the middle of a race. You feel your opponent weakening. It's time to go for the knockout punch. They come on hard, they come on strong. Okay? We received the witness that you got sight to your eyes. You now have vision when you did not have vision before. We'll confess that this is true, that this is real. Give God the glory. But this man, Jesus Christ, he's a sinner. He's a sinner. So they're coming up hard, they're coming up strong. You got a chance here. Just give God the glory for this amazing thing that He did to you, obviously. But Jesus Christ, you got a dump. And then He answered and said, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." That's what I know. You guys got it all figured out about Jesus being a sinner and he's a liar, or he's a cursed hypocrite, he gets his power from demons, whatever you want to babble about. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. Now what you should see in this conversation, what is so powerful here, is not just this man is moving this way toward Jesus. What's happening to the enemy? The enemy, in that second conversation, right, there was still a discussion. Is Jesus from God or is Jesus a sinner? There was still a division there. There's not a division in there anymore, right? Now they're together. Now they're moving this way. The enemy has now come together and they are now moving away from Jesus. The one is moving toward Jesus, the one is moving away from Jesus. And so they see that he's sticking to a story, so they said, "Okay, let's slow it down, let's do a slow play a minute." And then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? They know this story. They talked to all the witnesses. They've talked to him. They've got every little detail down. They know exactly what happened. But now they're just trying to shake him up. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I told you already. Listen to how firm. I want you to understand who this is. This is in Jerusalem, brothers and sisters. These are the scribes of the Pharisees. These are the best of the best. These are the smartest ones. They're the wisest ones. They're the richest ones. They're the most powerful people in the country. All right? This is not some place, little town in Galilee. This is not some little outskirt place in Samaria where they got some little rabbi with two or three followers that's standing up to help to work against this guy. These are the best of the best. These are the guys with the long robes and are the beautiful robes and the long beards and the very grave dispositions. These are the men of power. And here's a man that might only be 16, 17, 18 years old. They said he is of age. In other words, he's older than 13. He's now responsible for himself. But we don't get any sense that he's an old person. He's a younger person. He's a younger person standing in front of some of the most respected authorities in the country. You need to see that. Because what happens next when you see that should blow your mind. Because he stands right up. And he says, I told you already and you did not listen. And then I can't, you know, you should smile at this, right? Do you also want to become his disciples? Here's this kid, 17, 18, 20 years old, to all these men that are just against Jesus. And he says, do you also want to become his disciples? But look at that. Do you also? In other words, what's happening? This man, a man named Jesus, put clay on my eyes. And now he's talking about, do you also want to become his disciples? Do you see the movement that's happening in these conversations? That even as they are pushing on him, even as they are pounding on him, even as Satan and all these powers of darkness are coming down on this man and on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of this has the effect of strengthening his faith in Jesus Christ. That's beautiful. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. We weren't there, but we're accepting that it's true from the Bible. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. And then, listen to him again. The man answered and said to them, why? This is a marvelous thing. Most learned rabbis and elders, this is a marvelous thing that you say that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. And then, I know we're getting close, but just give me a couple minutes more here, because he gives the most reasonable, clear defense of Jesus Christ. Right here. Now we know, so here's the evidence. My eyes have been opened. And we have witness after witness that testifies that I was born blind. And until he just healed me, my eyes were closed. But they're open now. I have vision now. I see now. So that's the evidence that's before you. Now, the defense. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Now, brothers and sisters, you've got to understand that what's going on here is that behind this whole discussion and behind this whole argument is some shared beliefs, some shared understandings. Okay? And the shared belief and the shared understanding is that Satan does not have the power to create. Okay? Never in the Old Testament do we read of Satan having the power to do righteous things, that He has the power to create and do things. He only is a negative. Did you ever notice that? Do you ever pick up on that in the Word of God? In the Old Testament, they all can see it. Satan only can take away. He can only chop the legs off of a chair. He cannot build a chair. And the whole Word of God testifies to that. So they all know this. And when He says this thing about if he is a sinner, God will not hear him. Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If I've got some sin, if I've got some idol, if I'm holding on to something over here and saying, Lord, I love you, but I love this too. Can you, let me have this sin. Just let me hold on to this and I'll serve you. And then when I cry out to you, you're going to answer me. The Lord says, no, I will not hear those who are hanging on to their idols, who are hanging on to iniquity, who are hanging on to sin. But the psalmist says, he hears me. And that's exactly what this man is saying. He says, he opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears them. What is the whole book of John saying again and again about Jesus? I do the will of my Father. I do the will of Him who sent me. My whole life is to do the will of God. That's all He does, is the will of God. If anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him. Next line of defense. Since the world began, it has been unheard of anyone of that. Anyone open the eyes of one who was born blind. God doesn't hear sinners. God only hears those who do not have sin or iniquity in their hearts. God only hears those who do His will. Therefore, this man is not a sinner. Right there, in three sentences, he just went chop, chop, chop. And he took down all the top scholars of the country, of the nation, of the people, all the religious leaders, all the ones that are trying to say, oh, he's from a demon, he has power from below, that's how he's doing these things, etc. And this simple blind beggar, maybe still a teenager, bam, knockout. That's the power of God. That's the Holy Spirit in his heart. And even while he's being given the words to speak in front of all these people, God is firming up his knowledge of who Jesus is in his own heart. He is not a sinner. He is from God. And you know what they said? And listen to this. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. That's his last statement. That is it, right? If he was not from God, he could do nothing. And then they answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins and you're teaching us? You know, I argued a lot when I was a kid. I was a fool and an idiot with a big mouth, spoke a lot, and it got into a lot of stupid arguments with people, and a lot of them ended up right like this one, right here. Oh, you're just a big sinner anyways. What does it matter? Okay, and they just walk away, right? That's how they're going to walk away. That's the end of the argument, right? In other words, these are the most respected, honored people in the country, in the nation, the religious leaders of all of Israel, and this is the best they've got. Remember where it started? Lord, is this man, Rabbi, is this man a sinner or his parents that he was born blind? Let's just say for a moment that Jesus didn't answer that question. Let's just say that this man in the womb did something in the womb that God says, you know what, I'm going to curse him by taking out his eyes. Because that's what they believed, right? Let's just say that's true. Isn't he standing in front of them with eyes that see? And if it's true that God cursed him and took away his sight, then wouldn't it also be true that it was God who gave him back his sight? They cast him out. They said, "You're out. No more selling bagels. You're not part of this community anymore." Brothers and sisters, if we're going to serve the Lord God, sooner or later, you are going to be in this controversy. And I know there are many of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I know there are many of us too that when the force and the hardness of the world and Satan comes against us, we're going to have to reassess that. All around the world, there are many Christians who are suffering and being persecuted for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That has not happened here yet. But it might not be much longer. You need to know who your Savior is. Jesus Christ said to his disciples in John 6, he said, he said some hard things and a bunch of them left him. And then he said to his disciples, "Will you leave me also?" And they said to him, "Where would we go? You have the words of life." Brothers and sisters, whether we live, whether we die, if we have Christ, we have everything. This man just got his sight back, lost his whole community. But something more amazing than that is about to happen to him, and we'll finish up next week. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, once again we come before you this evening hour, and we thank you again for your word, for your spirit, for your truth. We pray that this word would be written on our hearts. Lord God, we pray that you would give us a deep, deep confession. Give us a radical faith. Give us an understanding of how awesome it is that you have taken away all our sins and iniquities. Give us an understanding of how radical it is that your Holy Spirit has entered into our hearts and we now walk around as the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we even speak about such a thing? That we have the power of God in our hearts. Lord, we pray that by your grace and through the working of your Spirit that our lives would show that light, that that glory and that praise would come forth from us. That others would see the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mercy and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, in our lives. Lord, we're asking, we're praying, and we're begging that you would do this for us. All these things we ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen.